2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And I'm going to be preaching on why glitter is of the devil. Now, 2 Samuel 24, if you'll find your place there today. We'll be back in this area. This guy, really, this story tonight is going to be over in 1 Chronicles tonight. But kind of two messages that go together, but a little bit different angle on them. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And if you're able, would you stand with us and honor the reading of God's word? Just for a few moments here, we'll read and then we'll pray and we'll be seated. The Bible says this in 2 Samuel 24 and in verse number 18, "And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad," now Gad is David's seer. He's kind of his preacher, all right? If you're a Yankee, that's not God right there, all right? Gad came to David. That's not what that is, okay? He is like his preacher. He's like his seer, his counselor. So God is giving a message to Gad, and Gad is giving a message to David. David, verse 19, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded, and Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of the to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Araunah said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood." All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. Now I read about that. I thought, well, Araunah, I don't really read about him being a king, but I caught that phrase like at the end of this week. And I thought, as a king, give unto the king. Maybe he was some kind of king. I couldn't find anything that really said that he was, but isn't that something? If he, what if it was a picture of like he as king of his domain? Because we got this mindset that we're king of our domain. It's our life. It's our money. It's our family. It's our time. Don't anyone dare tell us what to do with it. The Bible says Araunah as a king, give unto the king, or he gave unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And the king said unto Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Now, I want to preach this morning on this question: how much is your Christianity worth? How much is your Christianity worth? Let's pray together. God, would you help us today? I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll fill me and use me. But Lord, also I pray that those in the audience here will be Holy Spirit-filled listeners. And God, I pray for those that are saved that we'll really evaluate what our Christianity is worth and how we're treating our Christian life today. God, I pray for some in here maybe that don't know Christ as Savior. I pray that here at Christmas time, when we celebrate a baby born in a manger, that they'll realize, as the Cunningham family just sang, that it's more than just about a baby in a manger. It's about a cross, and it's about a garden tomb, and it's about an empty tomb, and it's about a risen Savior who's coming again, and it's about a risen Savior who can save their soul today. So I pray, God, you'll do the work that only you can do, and we'll thank you for what you'll do, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated there. I'm not going to get into the specifics of this story this morning, because we're going to come back to this story tonight. We're going to be over in 1 Chronicles 21 tonight, and I'll explain the full story then of what brings us up to this point. But I will say this, that in our passage here, King David, king of Israel, he had sinned. And Israel was under the chastening hand of God because of David's sin in numbering the people. David felt terrible for causing the hand of God to be against Israel. And his desire was for God to stop that chastening. Look at verse number 17. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. So David really was heartbroken that his sin had caused the deaths that it had caused there, 70,000 men to be killed. And he wanted to stay the hand of God. And he said, Lord, put this on me. All right, so God told David to go and to offer sacrifices at a specific place. He said, I want you to go to the threshing floor of a man named Arana, or 1 Chronicles 21, calls him Ornan. He said, I want you to go to him, and that's where I want you to make these sacrifices unto me. Now, upon seeing King David coming to that threshing floor and hearing his request, Arana or Ornan was willing to freely give it all to the king. He said, King, take it all. You don't have to pay anything. Verse 20, and Arana looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arana went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arana said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arana said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arana as a king give unto the king. And Arana said unto the king, the Lord thy God accepted of thee. So when this man, if you will, this man sees the king coming, and the king makes his request. He says, why in the world would the king be coming to my place? And he makes his request, and Arana sees that King David is there. He says, I'm not going to let you buy a thing from me. He says, I will give you everything that you need. And tonight I'll explain to you what the threshing floor is. But he said, King David, I'm honored that you would even ask. I'll give you anything here that you want. This week we'll celebrate the idea of giving. I'm sure that you've been out shopping, and we've been out. Sajid and I went out Friday shopping for a few hours or several hours there. Actually, I did what every man would do. We went to like a decoration store, and I said, now we've got about 15 minutes and we need to look and see what, and we need to get it. And she said, you didn't say that at Bass Pro Shop a minute ago. And we was like unlimited time there. And could I get a witness? So, I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? There's lots to see at Bass Pro Shop. You can only see so many pillows or picture frames or lamps or, you know, whatever. And, but we went out and got a few gifts for the kids. And, of course, Sarah got a lot of stuff. Joshua got coal again this year. But this week, we'll celebrate the idea of giving. And you know why? We'll celebrate that. And they just kind of sang about it. But we're going to celebrate giving all because 2,000 years ago, God gave. Let me read you some scripture. The Bible says in James chapter number 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I would say that our Savior Jesus Christ was a very good gift given to us as sinful men to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in John 3:16, we're talking about the spirit of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, that just gave us a lot of Bible truth, a lot of Bible doctrine right there. First of all, that God sent his Son as a Savior of the world to die for your sins and for my sins. It also told us that salvation is by grace through faith, not through baptism, not through church membership, not through giving offerings. Salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it also told us that whosoever believed in him is not condemned. It also told us there that we can know right now today whether or not we're going to heaven or whether or not we're going to hell when we die. So maybe you believed, and I was telling Miss Audrey this the other day, I said, I'm concerned with the lack of Bible doctrine in so many people. And there are so many opinions out there today. Well, that's just not the God I believe in. And that's just not the way I see it. Friend, it doesn't matter what we believe in or the way we see it. What matters is, thus saith the Lord. And the Bible tells us we can know now whether or not we're saved. But so many live with a belief that, well, I reckon you just live and you be a good old boy or a good old girl and you take care of your family and you pay your bills and you get to heaven one day, and as long as you're better than the guy that showed up on the news this weekend. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a lot of wickedness in our world today, but friend, listen, hell was made for the devil and his angels, but hell will be filled with those wicked, those vile people, those murderers, those abortionists, those child molesters. They'll be there, but friend, the people sitting in church pews that thought that their church or their preacher was going to get them into heaven, they're going to be there also. Because there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the free gift that God gave when he gave his son on the cross of Calvary. The Bible puts it this way in Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't earn a gift. A gift is just given. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2 and verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, we're celebrating giving this week, and I hope that you'll not make it all materialistic. I hope that you'll consider and that you'll say something about it at your Christmas get-togethers about the fact that what this really is all about is not whether or not you get a gift from your grandma or whether or not you give a gift to your children. What this mainly is all about is God giving his son to die on the cross for our sins. Why do we need that? Because of what it says in Romans chapter 5. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth, or he clearly displayed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I know that today you look around and you think, man, is this the tribulation period? Is this the start? Hey, I'll tell you what, it's not the tribulation, because I know the Bible says that we will be raptured out of here before the tribulation starts. But they're not going into it cold turkey. And the world is being prepared today. You're not going to keep your job if you don't get the shot. You're not going to get into this store if you don't get the shot. There's no doubt the world is being prepared for the tribulation. But the Bible says we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world. That was through Adam, the first man, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And friend, listen, you and I were born sinners. We were born with the Adamic nature. We were born with that sin nature, because sin has passed. That sin seed has passed through the seed of man. That's why Jesus had to be virgin born. There could not be a man involved, or he would have been born a sinner just like you and I. And the Bible tells us this, Find my place here. Let me read it again. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Our opinion of what sin is doesn't matter. What God calls sin, that's what matters. And we have a Bible that tells us what sin is. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, I want you to notice the word gift throughout the rest of this passage. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one man to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Wherefore, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And praise God for this passage right here. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The free gift of salvation that many in this room have received. And if you have not received it, you can receive it today. But the free gift of salvation is free to us, but it was bought with the high price of the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank God that the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive is the gift of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Could you imagine here in a few days, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, could you imagine getting a gift that you knew was a re-gift? But what if somebody came to you and gave you, and you open it up and you realize it's a gift you gave them last year? Better yet, what if you opened up that gift from your spouse and it was all nicely wrapped? It was obviously from the wife to the husband. Nicely wrapped. And if you guys are like me, if you wrap gifts, there's always a corner of the box showing. You just triple up the tape right there on that spot where the paper didn't make it all the way. I don't know what it is. I do not have the gift of wrapping a gift, all right? This just reminds me of my son. Never mind. My son's a goofball. Every time I tell him, son, something, I'll tell him, son, wrap it up. We need to go. He'll say, all right, Dad. I say, boy, get in the truck. So anyways, all right, he'll pray for us. What if you open up a gift? And it's from your spouse, and the spouse is saying, oh, I love you. I want you to have this gift. And when you open it, you know that your spouse had that given to them from someone else, maybe at their birthday or whatever, and now they're trying to claim originality and give it to you. Now, gift cards don't count, amen? I re-gift gift cards all the time. Now, you'd probably think something like this. Wow. That's what I mean to you. You spend all kinds of money and energy finding the right gifts for the people you love. But for me, you just find something laying around the house and you wrap it up as if it really is from your heart. Now, here's the point of the message. If David here in 2 Samuel 24, if David was the average Christian in 2021, I realize there are a lot of above average Christians in here, but if David was the average Christian, His response when Arana said, I want you to have all of this for free. The average Christian today would say, I'll take it. Man, that works out for me great. I can sacrifice to God and get his chastening hand off of me, and it won't cost me a thing. I'll take it. After 21 years of pastoring, that's where we are in Christianity today. We want a convenient, cozy, cost me nothing Christian life. I hate to tell you, that's not the life that God teaches us about in his word. In fact, the word of God says this in Matthew 19 and verse number 16. And behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, he wasn't talking about a work salvation. He's trying to get this fellow to realize he can't keep all of the commandments. Well, he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, this guy had a lot of pride. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. That's a lie. You didn't always honor mom and dad. All of us have been disobedient as children before, and this is what happens. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. He's trying to prove you're not humble enough. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, and it's for by grace you're saved. He said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Listen to this. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know what that was? Lord, I love you. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to do this church thing. What's going to cost you? Oh, I didn't know it was going to cost me anything. I thought we could just roll into church and have a breakfast together and tell a few funny stories and a preacherette gets up and delivers a sermonette to a bunch of Christianettes for about 15 minutes and then we have praise band for about an hour and preacher doesn't offend anyone with the truth of the word of God and we don't have any more services all week and it's like, man, I feel good. I put in my 30 minutes with God. And he said, I didn't know it was going to cost me something. The Bible says this, puts it this way in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And you know, we never hear from that fellow again. You can almost see it. You don't even have a house. I mean, following you means I can't have a house. That's not exactly what that means right there. But it means that we're willing to follow Christ no matter the cost. Be careful. A lot of folks in our house right now, in our church right now, buying houses. Be careful that doesn't carry you out of the will of God. I'm for it. We own our house. I'm for buying houses. I'm not for moving an hour away from the church. I'm not for buying things that cause us to rob God of his tithes and offerings. I'm not for buying things that are where all of our time is tied up now in jobs and salaries. There's no time to raise the kids properly. I'm saying to you, be careful because Christ said, I don't even have a place where to lay my head. And Jesus, and he said unto another, Jesus said this to another person, looks at another one and says, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. The words you need to catch there is the words that we're hearing in our world today. Me first. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Me first doesn't belong in Christianity. Now I tell you why, because Christ put me first on the cross of Calvary. He didn't say me first. He took upon himself the form of a servant and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and died a horrible death for you and I. And if you're saved, your life should not be lived with a mindset, well, as long as it's easy on me. Luke chapter 14 says this, puts it this way. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. I saw a t-shirt at the mall the other day that said this, no more excuses. And I thought, boy, I need to get me a tie like that. No more excuses. They began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of, listen to this. By the way, you say, you're preaching kind of rough on a Sunday morning. Wouldn't it be something on a Christmas week? I know, folks, listen, but as we celebrate this baby being born and we celebrate giving, wouldn't it be a good time to evaluate? I mean, we'll do that. We'll say, well, you know, we got to get them something because we can't go that family get together without something this year because you know they got us that something last year. We put that kind of thought into it and we'll say, well, don't tell me to give my life to Christ. By the way, there's a lot of folks out there teaching today that salvation is just surrendering, giving your life to Christ. Salvation is realizing you're a sinner in need of salvation and asking God to forgive you of your sins and save your soul. But what we need to do as Christians is yield ourselves to God. Peter was a saved man when Jesus told him, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What he said there was, when you turn that corner in your life, when you get to that place where you're all in, he said, then I'm going to use you to help others. Well, the Bible says here, as they begin to invite folks to this supper, they all begin to make excuse. Listen to these crazy excuses. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee for thee, have me excused. Well, got a question for you. Should he not have seen that ground before he bought it? And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Why did he buy oxen that he hadn't proved yet? Because he's just making an excuse. Now the next one makes sense. Another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. That makes sense. You haven't been home enough. You know, whatever. But funny but true, but we make all kinds of excuses. We're so full of excuses today as to why we can't do what God wants us to do. Preacher, I can't make it to church. I can't go soul winning. I just can't talk to people about stuff like that. But we can talk to them about the Dallas Cowboys. And we can talk to them about deer hunting. And we can show them pictures of our grandchildren. Preacher, I can't tithe. I can't give the missions. I just can't dress right. I can't do that stuff. I can't preach. I can't walk away from these worldly friends. They're my BFFs. I just can't do it. I can't quit gossiping. I just can't quit cussing. I tried it. I can't do it. I can't serve. I can't get involved. I can't be faithful. I can't. And really, is it that I can't, or is it that I just simply won't? Because I believe somewhere in the Bible it tells us I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Salvation is a free gift. But it came at the expense of Christ paying a very high price on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus said this to us, and he said this 3 times in Scripture. He said it in Matthew 16, it's recorded in Mark chapter 8, and also here in Luke chapter 9, Jesus said this. Listen, Christians. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We want a crossless Christianity today. We want a bubblegum, blowing, pop blowing, bubble blowing, just ease. Let's just have a good old time and speak smooth things and don't ask for any kind of commitment. I'm not necessarily preaching to you. I'm preaching to the religious society we're in today. This is the mindset. As long as it costs me nothing. Sitting in my office this morning and I heard a baby screaming. Ah, nah, nah. First of all, I gave thanks that I'm done with the baby thing. But I thought about those ladies in there and I thought about Miss Schuford, who's been doing our nursery since my kids were babies and even before then, 20 plus years. And I thought, man, there's got to come a time. And if you're watching on TV, Miss Schuford, it's not God's will for you to quit. But, I thought there's got to come a time where she says, and just walks out of, just walks straight out of there. It says, no more. I pay. Listen, you get young adults sometimes. I can't. I can't keep the nursery because my toenail, you know, that shine on there chipped. The baby had, you know, I think the baby had a booger. I think they got it, and they give you some long term of what the baby has. Not trying to preach ugly. I love you. I mean, we've been with you as a church family for a long time, but I'm telling you, we got to get rid of the excuses. Jesus didn't get on the cross, or even before the suffering he endured the night before the cross. He could have wiped them all out and said, you know what? Forget everybody. I can't do this. Luke chapter 9, the Bible says, he says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. I tell you, and I'm going to get down to the end here. Don't really have points this morning, just the thoughts here. But got to looking at my calendar. I was sitting at my desk this morning and looking at the calendar. And boy, it really just, things really pick up quick next year. A lot of stuff going on. And I'm excited about it. I'll get tired, but I'm like you. I have a good time with it. But you know what's coming up? Christmas Day, 2022. It's on a Sunday. Guess who ain't shutting down church services? That makes zero sense. Zero sense. Every church will tell you next Christmas Day if that church celebrates Christ or not. And I'm not going to bark at you if you go Sunday afternoon, Sunday, you say preacher won't be there Sunday night. I mean, that's grace of God. That's between you and the Lord. But I tell you this, when is the last time as a Christian we told the family that doesn't go to church, we can't? Instead, we tell church and our church and our God and our pastor, we can't. My challenge to us this morning is simple. To have the heart of King David. When Arana said, take whatever you need to worship God, it's all free. But David said this in 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24. He made this statement. The king said unto Arana, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. He said, you know what? God's done a lot for me. I'm not just going to give him whatever doesn't cost me. I'm not just going to get involved till it doesn't hurt. Hey, are you willing to pay any cost to live your life faithfully unto the one who paid the high price for your salvation? A cost you nothing gift would be a very sorry gift to give to the ones that you love the most. And a as long as it costs me nothing Christianity is a very sorry way to live our life for the one who paid it all for our sins on the cross of Calvary, to whom much is given, much is required. I remember when we were kids at home, and I had a grandpa, my mom's mom, had married a fellow over here in Canton. They were married for a few years, late in her life, And Mr. B, we called him Mr. B. Back then, Canton City, Canton had a dump ground. They still have the same spots there, but you have to put it in dumpsters now if you've ever been out there to that landfill. But it used to be the big old dump ground like Dallas has and Big Pit. And Mr. B ran the dump ground. He ran the dump ground. And Sean and I, Shane was a little bit older, but Sean and I, our favorite thing to do was to walk through that pit of trash and pick up cans. Mr. B, Mr. Burgess. They called him Catfish Burgess because he always fished. But he would drive that tractor, and we'd sit up there on the seat with him. Then we'd get down that pit, and we would sit, and we would pick up those cans. I mean, you'd get just tons of you know, aluminum and cans and things out of something like that. Now, I'll never forget, Mom and Dad probably would remember this. I'll never forget one Christmas, Sean suddenly had Christmas gifts for everyone. And it was like, where does a 7-year-old get money? Well, he had been shopping at the dump. I never forget, he brought home some kind of stand-up plug-in Christmas candle. But we were poor back then. But we had love. That's the one, never mind. And But we had this plastic candle, and Sean, I think it was busted on the side, but Sean thought, look, we have Christmas decorations. And I don't remember what all Sean brought us. I know it was from the heart, but it was from the dump ground. Hear ye the master's call, give me thy best. Give me thy best. We told our kids the other day, and we were behind on our Christmas shopping. Mostly because neither one of us liked to shop. Thank God for a wife who doesn't like to shop. Except Bath and Body Works. And we told him, 21, 17 years old, 21 years old, we told him, said, listen, she's like, Dad just wants to give y'all a gift card. But I want it to be more personal. And so I lost. And we said, all right, we're going Friday. We dropped Sarah off the airport at noon. We picked my parents up that night. We got about 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 hours. Their plane was late. But we got this time. We got to get it done. You guys send us a list. And you know what we did? We tried hard to find what they need and to find what they want. My challenge is simple. Why don't we as Christians just try a little harder to stop making excuses? Try a little harder when it comes to the things of God. Quit giving God the leftover of your life, if you will. I love what David said there. By the way, tonight I'm going to talk about what Arana or Ornan said in 1 Corinthians 21. He said this, take it, King, I give it all. And that's what we need to have as mindset towards our King also. But maybe as a Christian today, you'll decide, Lord, whatever the cost, I'm willing to live my life entirely and faithfully for you. Here was the question. How much is your Christianity worth to you? We're not earning our way to heaven. It's done. It's done. But is it worth totally and completely committing your life to Christ? Here, these next few days, while Sarah's out of town, Joshua doesn't pay attention anyways, so Mom will be wrapping some gifts. Sarah would smell the gift through the wall and know what it was. Josh would walk by in the middle of the room and go, what? He just, different kids. She's going to wrap some gifts. And then at like midnight 01 on Christmas Eve, I'll be wrapping my gifts the way I wrap them. Wouldn't it be something this week? It's Christmas. Wouldn't it be something at the altar this morning if we just kind of figuratively wrapped ourselves as a gift? And say, God, I go out of my way to make sure everybody around me is taken care of, to make sure everyone around me has what they want or they need, to be where everyone around me wants me to be. But God, I've been giving you a bunch of leftovers. Wouldn't it be something we just wrapped ourselves as a gift today and said, I'm not going to have a costless Christianity. I'll do whatever as long as it fits my schedule, my money, my strength, my this, and get back to the way maybe you used to live your life. God, I'm going to give you everything I have. I believe God will bless your life for it. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior. I spent a lot of time on salvation. What a great week to be saved. Now, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's got to be working on your heart. But if you feel that right now, and it's a feeling to someone who's never known, it's like, man, I just feel bothered. That's the still small voice of God, the Bible says. He's knocking at your heart's door. But what a great week to look back every year and say, hey, Christmas week was the week that I got saved. I want you to be saved.